This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box, 590 The Fan, KFNS, and 590thefan.com. Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, with you here. We'll be taking you up to about 11 o'clock, at which point Martin Kilcoyne and Jim Huer will be taking things over live from the West Point Social, or the Westport Social. I said West Point Social more than once. It's not the Army. Westport Social down at Westport Plaza. You can stop by for your chance to win Blues tickets. We'll be queuing up the Joe Micheletti interview in just a little bit, but some text real quick. I think if the Blues make it to the finals, the best thing for them happened last night. Maybe the long layoff for Boston will cool them off, given that they are looking unstoppable from the 3-1-4. The Boston Bruins completing their sweep of the Carolina Hurricanes last night. They will be the Eastern Conference representative in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I like the text because I kind of agree, and I think Tim McKernan in the morning after kind of threw out some stats of teams that have swept in a conference final and have waited are, you know, doesn't have a lot of success in their actual series in the finals. But Boston is a veteran team. I don't think Tuukka Rask, Marchand, Backes, and those boys, Bergeron, they're going to take a step back. I think they'll be practicing business as usual, and I imagine they'll be fresh and ready to go. I mean, that's probably the deepest team in hockey right now, and obviously they're playing the best hockey of anybody. And so I don't know if it's an advantage for any team, San Jose or St. Louis, to play Boston regardless of the time off.
And, of course, congrats to former Blue David Backes making it to his first Stanley Cup final. So I know Boston, people hate Boston and all the success they've had. There's at least a silver lining to them making it to the Stanley Cup. David Backes gets to be to a point where he has never been in his career. And finally, from the 3-1-4, quick shots from a distance to the corners. Primarily upper will be Jones. Close in, he covers middle with body, corners with pads. He is very ordinary. If goalies were reversed, Blues would have lost without the BS in overtime, says the 3-1-4.
I think Short's goal is a great example of where you'd be able, I mean, that goal happened so fast, and it's not like it was a tic-tac pass to where Jones is on the other side, couldn't get back. He saw the play the whole time. Short just, you know, pinpointed up in the corner. Easier said than done. Shorts is a true sniper, but I think that's the aim, and you just try to, like I said, just get pucks on net against Martin Jones, and good things will happen.
And even Tarasenko's goal the other night that just kind of floated up over, I think, the left shoulder of Martin Jones into the back of the net. So certainly, given that you have a goalie advantage, you would hope the Blues go into Game 4 with some confidence coming off a Game 3 loss. Speaking of the Game 3 loss, yesterday morning, Frank Cusimano was joined by Joe Micheletti of NBC Sports. He was in the booth for Game 3. He'll be in the booth again tonight, and I believe in the booth for Game 5 in San Jose on Sunday afternoon. Joe immediately, to his credit on the broadcast, pointed out that the Blues were upset about the alleged hand pass that I think we can say happened. Nonetheless, the officials on the ice right there in front of the play missed it. Joe from the rafters saw it. But he joined Frank Cusimano yesterday morning to discuss what transpired in Game 3 and give a preview for Game 4 and what he wants to see from the Blues moving forward in this series.
When it was happening, like in real speed time, did you see the hand touch the puck, or was it a few seconds after when you had a chance to look at a replay?
No, I saw it right away. But I waited, and I told Kenny Albert right after the game that I saw it, but because it turned out to be a goal in overtime and a winning goal, as it turned out, that I hesitated to say anything because I didn't want to screw up the call, and of course, there's always a chance that I'm wrong, so. So I thought, sure, it was a hand pass, but I wanted him to finish his call. And then, you know, I jumped in, you know, right afterwards, you know, partially because I was going to say it. And the other thing that really stood out was the reaction of Binnington. So if you watch it again on replay, here's what I think happened to Binnington on the play. I think that he knew that, well, he did know. He did know that it was a hand pass. And I think that he felt and thought that as soon as it touched the stick of Gus Nyquist, that the whistle would blow. So I think that Binnington just momentarily relaxed, thought it was going to be a call. And then when it wasn't, he had to scramble to try and get back into position, and Carlson's able to get the puck through him. But you see him as soon as it goes in, his reaction. So he knew it was a hand pass, and I think he felt like it was going to be a call. And so did I. So did I. So to me, there was no question about the hand pass when it happened. And I was just, you know, it's one of those things. It's not reviewable. The one of the four officials on the ice has to see it and has to make a call, and nobody did.
Do you think the rule will be changed shortly?
Yes. Shortly meaning I don't think anything's going to happen this season, because you have to get the Board of Governors together, and you got to get everybody together and say, listen, we need a new we need to adjust our standard here. In particular, there have been so many things that have happened in this year's playoffs that that the phones are that the internal discussions I'm sure that are taking place now are so much more intense and more often than in any other playoff year. So I Pierre LaGuardia mentioned something on the air last night about, you know, some of the different instances that are probably going to become under review in following seasons. And I agree with him. And I think certainly this one, just on all goals, I think will be automatically reviewed. And I don't think it'll take that much time unless there's something that's really questionable, which would take time anyway.
You know, I make 5 mistakes before breakfast every day, but it's amazing that 4 officials are on the ice and they're watching the play, and you're way up in the booth and you see it, and those 4 officials on the ice don't see that hand touch the puck.
Over the years, Frank, I've been around so long that I've gotten to know these officials. And these are really good people. They're really upstanding individuals. You know, there's always a few that, you know, rub you the wrong way. But I will say this, that when they miss something, you can't believe how much it bothers them. And so this last night was a huge miss, I think, for this reason. You know, there's so much going on the ice that they don't always catch things that are away from the play, you know, and that's understandable. But when you have a play that's right in front of you, because you've got 19,000 people that are watching the puck, right? You've got a number of officials, you know, the officials that are out there, somebody for sure has an eye on the puck to watch what's going on. And the mistake was made that someone looked the other way and was watching something else. And because it was kind of the puck flipped up in the air and it was deflected, and you never know exactly, you know, in that moment what happens to their eyesight and where they're looking, or if they get blocked out for some reason. And all those things are possibilities. But you know, this one where the focus is on the puck and on that play, for all 4 of those to not see that is really it's tough to take, and I can understand you're a Blues fan. I mean, you're going, wait a second here, you know, this is a difficult one to handle, and I don't blame them.
I know you probably don't know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think there's a chance that one of the officials actually did see it because of the gravity of the situation, a game-deciding goal in Game 3 of the Western Conference Final? They just didn't want to overturn the moment.
My gut says no, Frank, but that's, you know, that would be a question for the 4 of them that are out there. And like I said earlier, I've gotten to know, you know, most of these officials pretty well over the years. And these 2, you know, the guys that were there last night, they're experienced officials. And there's nothing that bothers them more than to miss something, and especially if it has an impact on the game, which this one did. So I would say to that answer, I would say my gut and in my heart and in my head, I say, no, that had nothing to do with it. I would say I take their word that the 4 of them, that neither of them saw the play.
Joe, even though I'm a basketball guy and I spend more time covering baseball than anything, I admit that the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best playoffs in sports. There's nothing more captivating, nothing more compelling. I can't get enough of it. But with that said, what type of black eye is this moment on the league, or just move on and won't be discussed only in St. Louis from this moment on?
Well, it will be discussed. It will be discussed. And the thing to remember about this, and it depends on the outcome of the series as well. There's only three games, and the Blues, I think, walk away from that game thinking we played well enough to win. And so from a confidence level, I don't think it's going to affect them. I thought the way Craig Berube handled it in the post game was perfect, because what are you going to do at this point? You know, now Craig is already thinking about game four, his team, the players, their mindset, their confidence, and all those things. I mean, he starts as soon as that thing's over, he's walking down to the locker room and he's starting to think, okay, we've got game four coming up. There's nothing I can do about this. And so I thought he handled it perfectly. And they still have a good chance to win the series. I mean, if I'm the Blues, I come away from that game going, you know what? We found some things in playing against this team last night that should give us confidence that we can win the series. I still think it'll be a long series, and you've got two teams that are similar and play similar styles. But if I'm the Blues, I'm not thinking, oh, the series is over. I mean, you think that, then it is over, and it's going to be over quickly. But I would remember that this is game three, and we've got plenty of time yet to, there's still a lot of hockey to be played.
Jordan Binnington is the reason the Blues are in the situation they're in right now. But your evaluation of his performance last night?
See, I didn't think that, even though he allowed five goals, you know, the last one, I would say, as I mentioned to you earlier, Frank, I think that mentally he probably just for a moment and only a split second probably relaxed just a little bit, because when he scrambled over to try and make the save, he looked like he was scrambling over to make the save instead of pushing off, getting over there like he always does. So I think that he probably thought there was going to be a whistle. I thought there was a split second of relaxation. So if it was, then that's a mistake that he made. But, again, clearly he knew it was a hand pass and there should have been a whistle. Some of the other goals, the first one by Joe Thornton, you know, he's in position, but Bortuzzo blocks the shot and it just happens to deflect straight over to the left of Binnington. There's Joe Thornton. He's got an open net backhand and in. The other goal by Joe Thornton, Binnington had to pick up. If you watch the shot, he reacts late because he was screened. And when you're screened and then you got to relax and react and do everything you can just to stop the puck so it doesn't go in the net, then you don't have control of where the rebound's going. So he got enough of it to keep it out of the net, but the fortuitous bounce goes behind the net and then right back, and Joe Thornton makes a heck of a play. And by that time, Binnington now is trying to scramble back the other way and just can't get back into position. So I don't blame him for the loss at all. I really don't. It's just you got to remember, you got two good teams and talented players on both sides that are simply going to make plays.
And one of the most talented players is the captain for the Blues, Alex Pietrangelo. And unfortunately, he's had some isolated, really bad moments in this series, including the icing plays last night.
You know, it's really interesting. In the last couple of years, I'm only going to say the last maybe 2 years, around the National Hockey League, you can now talk to coaches that coached for years that have said, you can't shoot at the empty net if you're not, you know, if you're on the other side of the red line, if you're in your own zone. All that has changed. You know, the analytics now in the game have gotten so sophisticated that the analytics tell you that if you have a chance to shoot at the open net, the odds are you should take the shot, try to hit the open net, and if it's an icing, it's an icing. So, you know what? So that's the mindset of most of these players now. Unless you have the time, on that icing, he was obviously pressured and turned. So he either had to go hard off the glass with it, hard, if he was kind of on his back end, so he wouldn't have been able to clear the puck the other way. And so he took a shot at it. It turned out to be an icing. But the analytics people in the National Hockey League now, and most teams hire analytics people to go over all those numbers and what are the odds and why does it make sense or what doesn't make sense. And so there's most of these teams in the National Hockey League now, you watch them now, and it's not like the old days where you say you absolutely can't, you know, go for the open net if you're on the wrong side of the red line. And most teams will go for the open net.
The most talked about player from the Blues perspective over the last 4 or 5 days has been Vladimir Tarasenko. What do you think of his play last night? Had a big moment.
Well, I will say this. If you go down the roster of the Blues, and you can start with, you know, numerically, go all the way down the roster. And I thought about this last night. I was talking to Kenny Albert after the game last night. And because we started, you know, in our just post-game discussion of the game. And we mentioned, and I shouldn't say we, I should say Kenny, because he's doing play-by-play. He mentioned just about every other player on the team more than Tarasenko. And to me, that's a problem. I understand that when it comes to playoffs, your key offensive players are going to get targeted. It's going to be more difficult to score. But you have to do something on the ice to be noticed and to be a factor. It doesn't always have to be scoring. You know, we very seldom, I mentioned him one time coming back and making a defensive play, which was a good play. But we only mentioned him a number of times. And so sometimes these players, they get so much in their head about how they have to make these adjustments and do something different, and the team's playing me this way, and I'm not getting any room, and I'm not, you know, he's a skater and a shooter. So he should be thinking, I'm going to skate and try to get to the open areas, and when I get the puck, I'm going to shoot it. But you got to work to be able to do that. And if you're not getting the chances, okay, you got to be patient. You got to wait for that chance to come. But you've got to do something else. You got to be the first guy in on the forecheck and force a turnover. You've got to make a defensive play now and then. You've got to do something to help your team, and you've got to at least get the other team thinking that we still have to watch this guy closely because he's a threat. So my problem with Tarasenko is that we don't mention his name enough during a broadcast. We don't mention his name enough as far as someone that is doing some other things and help. And you gotta sometimes just create things yourself. You can't wait for everybody else.
Final thought. What do you think that Coach Berube has in store for Game 4? What do you think he's telling his team now? I know there's going to be one change. Don will be out and likely Gunnarsson in. But what's the next biggest thing on the Blues plate?
Well, I think for them is, you know, there doesn't have to be a major adjustment. There really doesn't. The one thing that I think everybody has to understand is there's not going to be a perfect game. You know, the Blues fans, even if the Blues win, they're not going to walk away saying, boy, the Blues did everything right. They defended. They didn't give up any shots. The goalie saw every shot. They no rebounds. They forechecked properly. They never had an odd man rush again. That's not going to happen because you've got a really good team you're playing against, and things happen as we saw last night. So I don't think there's going to be major adjustments in the way they play. I think that Tarasenko's one. You got to step up. You got to be a factor. You have to be a factor in some way. So do they need a little bit more from some players? Yes, but if you look at the team as a whole, I think the team played pretty well. I think they did some. I think they did enough good things to win. And in most cases, when you give up 5 goals, the coaches will focus on, let's be a little bit tighter. Here's what we can do a little bit better. Yeah, here's if you don't have a play here, let's do this. And so I think that will be, and most times it is, the focus for the next game.
Great stuff. Joe, honored to have you on the program. Thanks so much. We're getting texts here saying, one of them reads, Joe Micheletti is the best hockey analyst ever.
That was my son.
We'll see you at the rink. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Frank. Pleasure. Take
All
care.
Right.
That is Joe Micheletti's visit with Frank Cusumano yesterday morning on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. If you only caught bits and pieces of it, you can go to 590thefan.com. That segment is podcasted, as well as every other segment that the show has had from all of its hockey coverage, which I feel like has been somewhat extensive. We will take a short time out. On the other side, Jim Huer is connected live down at the Westport Social. We'll bring him in, get his thoughts for Game 4 tonight. But before we go to break, I want to talk about the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living, a living experience nothing short of exceptional. You can visit thegatesworth.com for more information. It's right off of 170 and 1 McKnight Place. Thegatesworth.com and the Bomarito Automotive Group, Missouri's number one automotive group. It is where Price sells car. Nobody has more, or Price sells cars, rather. No one has more. Nobody sells more. 20 locations. They are in your neighborhood. Go to bombmarino.com as well to take a look at all their locations and even look at their new and pre-owned inventory. That's available 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. The Bomarito Automotive Group. We'll take a short time out. Jim Huer on the other side. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box.